Welcome to the daily full show podcast of the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The Power Station.
This is Ray Hadley in the Morning, right across Australia.
And good morning and welcome. Tuesday the 26th of May. I'm Ray Hadley. Great to have your company on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Top of 20 in the city of Sydney, same out west, 23 in Brisbane. We'll check the weather across the rest of the listening area shortly. And no matter where you are, the number is the same. 131873. Email me either rayhadley.com. 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au, and access information from the program by going to facebook.com/ The Ray Hadley Morning Show. Traffic problems in and around Sydney. We had some dope try to access the Harbour Tunnel this morning, sometime after about 5:30. Took about 25 minutes to back him out. And we had Forest Road closed in both directions at Arncliffe due to a multi-vehicle accident at the intersection of Wallow Creek Road. City-bound motorists were being diverted into Harrow Road. We'll get an update from Ian Wallace on that in a moment. Any problems in Brisbane, Penny will look after that for us as well. So 131873 is that open line number. The Immigration Minister, Peter Dutton, will join me early in the show this morning. Earlier today, a number of detainees at the Villawood Detention Centre, I understand, were moved. I've got information coming out of the centre. That was after a drug-fuelled rampage, I'm told, on Sunday. Now, these are bad criminals. These are not people who've overstayed a visa. These are really bad people, and I've got some intel reports on a number of them. They look like some second-hand movie extras from an outlaw motorcycle gang movie, Sons of Anarchy or something, with their muscle-bound frames and tattoos everywhere. They're all a Pacific Islander appearance, the photos I've got of them. There is one, a New Zealander, who appears to be the ringleader. They've been kept in detention pending their removal to countries of origin. Now, they are people who've committed crimes in Australia, have gone to jail, let out of jail, but because they are either Tongan, New Zealand, or some other South Pacific nation, they're waiting for them to go back. One of the main ringleaders is a bloke named Rocky Ranaki, Rocky Ranaki is his name. There are allegations he's led the way with drug supply, drug use and standover tactics of fellow detainees at Villawood and Serco Guards. He's been in and out of jail for more years than he's been in the country. Today I'll ask the Minister, Peter Dutton, why he and others haven't been returned to New Zealand or their Pacific Island places of birth so that we can stop wasting resources on them out there at Villawood. I believe they're going back into the prison system today in New South Wales or maybe in other states and territories because, of course, they're the property, so to speak, of the federal government, not the state government. Now, I guess everyone understands. Oh, before that, Glenn's just phoned. We've got a bad nose to tail on the M5 westbound before the Moorbank Road exit left-hand lane. Thanks, Glenn. Bad nose to tail on the M5 westbound before the Moorbank Road exit left-hand lane. Everywhere you look today, there are stories about the coroner's inquest resuming into the tragic deaths of Katrina Dawson and Tori Johnson. The New South Wales State Coroner, Michael Barnes, has a near-impossible job as he treads carefully through all the evidence to find out exactly what happened at the Lint Cafe December last year. Today, as we mourn again the death of Katrina and Tori, and we read not even the rebel motorcycle gang, the outlaw motorcycle gang at Mount Druitt, would cop this murderous lunatic, Marn Monis. They knew he was a dill, and they wouldn't even allow him to come into their club. I mean, it's getting bad when you can't be selected to be a member of the outlaw motorcycle gang. They take your bike and say, no, you're a dill, keep going. Anyway, while the outlaw motorcycle gang worked him out, various courts in New South Wales could not work him out. Not now, but later in the inquest, the coroner, Mr. Barnes, will apparently look at why Monis was not incarcerated. While many individuals played some sort of role in allowing this madman to roam free, the blame must be laid at the feet of the New South Wales state government, who provided bail laws that allowed man Monis to actually walk the streets of Sydney. Now, there isn't one individual person responsible for what happened at Lint Cafe apart from man Monis. He's the one. And blame can, I guess, be apportioned to other people, but at the end of the day, the person responsible for the carnage created in that 36-hour period was him. But the role of the New South Wales government and their Attorney General at the time, Mr. Greg Smith, must surely be examined by Mr. Barnes at a later date. Mr. Smith changed the bail laws that allowed magistrates to find a way to release this madman and other madmen. Let me take you through what happened. This was reported shortly after he was shot and killed by police. Sydney siege gunman Man Monis was released from custody on bail 6 days after the controversial changes to the state's bail laws came to effect in May of 2014. The New South Wales government, in December, called for an investigation into why Monis slipped through the cracks of the judicial system and somehow was released from custody. Well, I can help you. We don't need a coroner's inquest. I can tell you why. The New South Wales Attorney General, who replaced Greg Smith, Brad Hazzard, said that stricter bail laws would take effect from the end of January this year, and it was very unlikely that Monis would have been released on bail had the rules that are now in place been in place back then. Mr. Hazzard, in a direct slight against his predecessor, said the government changed the Bail Act to ensure greater safety for our community. It was changed to ensure that offenders involved in serious crime don't get bail. Now, the Sydney Morning Herald revealed back in December of last year that Monis was initially refused bail on April 14 of last year after being charged with 3 sexual offences against women in 2002. At that time, he appeared at Cogra Local Court under the name of Muhammad Hassan Mantigai, where the magistrate, Christine Haskett, under the old bail laws, refused bail. At about that time, Monis was already on conditional bail, granted December 12, 2013, by a magistrate named William Pearce. Now, I have to be careful because there are suppression orders in place put in place by Mr. Barnes, but I think everyone knows the matter to which I refer. He was named as an accessory in a very, very serious crime, a very serious crime. There are none more serious. Monis did not apply for bail when he appeared in Parramatta Local Court on April 16, and he was remanded in custody. On May 20 of last year, the state government, with the architect Greg Smith, introduced sweeping changes to bail laws, removing the decades-old presumption against bail for a suite of serious crimes. Magistrates and judges were now to use a two-step test as to whether the accused posted an unacceptable risk of reoffending. On the 26th of May, 6 days after the new bail laws were brought into Parliament and passed, Monis was granted bail at the Parramatta Local Court by the magistrate named Joan Bapty. She had identified 2 unacceptable risks, and Monis may endanger the safety of victims, individuals or the community, or may interfere with witnesses, but the magistrate granted him bail, conditional bail, and reinstated the conditions placed on him back in December of 2013, including daily reporting to Campsie Police Station, surrendering the passport, not going within 500 metres of a point of overseas departure, and not contacting the prosecution witnesses. He then had to fine $10,000 and reside somewhere in southwestern Sydney. So, there were a number of high-profile cases, including this one, and I lobbied hard. The Baird government announced in August last year the laws would be toughened, but they didn't come into effect until about February of this year. On October 10 last year, about a month before he went on his murderous campaign, Monis was charged with another 40 sexual assault charges against 6 women. They include 22 counts of aggravated sexual assault, 14 counts of aggravated indecent assault, and 1 count of aggravated act of indecency, 1 count of sexual assault, 2 counts of assault with an act of indecency. His bail was continued by a magistrate called Darrell Pinch. If Miss Pinch was allowed to, under the previous laws, it's likely he would have been incarcerated and wouldn't have murdered these people in December of last year. He was due to appear in Penrith Local Court on Friday, December 12. That didn't happen. Mr. Hazzard, the then Attorney General, said the government would ask state and federal agencies to examine how this offender slipped through the cracks. Well, let me just repeat. He was given bail by Magistrate Joan Bapty. He came back before a court on October 10. He was charged with a further 40 sexual assault against six women. 22 counts of aggravated sexual assault, 14 counts of aggravated indecent assault, one count of aggravated active indecency, one count of sexual assault, two counts of assault with an active indecency. The magistrate, Darrell Pinch, she gave him bail. Darrell Pinch should do us all a favour and retire from the bench. It then said in the same story, 2GB presenter Ray Hadley criticised the former Attorney General Greg Smith for the Bail Act changes. Addressing listeners, Mr. Hadley said, what we needed to do with the old bail laws was toughen them up. What will we do? We weaken the bail laws. Hadley had said on radio Mr. Smith had threatened to sue him for defamation for his comments. And he had. Mr. Smith retired from politics at the last election, and the former prosecutor is rumoured to be in line for a judicial posting. Surely that can't happen. Let the Premier in New South Wales, Mike Baird, be reminded of the fact the bail laws introduced by Mr. Smith allowed Man Monis to walk free. I'm sure Mr. Smith was well-intended. But there can be no escaping the fact those bail laws, which Greg Smith championed and were introduced on May 20 last year, were the reason Man Monis was able to be in Martin Place on that day instead of in a jail cell. On this program, I pleaded with Mr. Smith to change the laws. I said on a number of occasions, under those laws, someone would come to great harm when someone who should have been in custody would harm that person. I could never have imagined the carnage created by such a person in Man Monis, who benefited greatly from Mr. Smith's bail laws. Even yesterday, counsel assisting Sophie Callan confirmed while Monis did not go to trial, the evidence suggested it was highly likely he'd be convicted and face a lengthy jail term, yet he was given bail by those final two magistrates, Magistrate Pinch and Magistrate Baptie. Eventually, the bail laws were changed early this year when Premier Mike Baird elevated Brad Hazzard to the Attorney General's position. But by then, it was too late for Tory Johnson, Katrina Dawson and their families. And at some time down the track, I know it's tough for those with a legal background to criticise other people with a legal background. Someone will repeat what I'm saying here in relation to the death of these beautiful people. In the Telegraph today, a Sydney mother has abandoned her two children to pursue a new life under the brutal dictatorship of the Islamic State in Syria. The ex-husband of Jasmina Milovanov, 26, said he believed the woman he described as an impressionable dreamer had left her children aged 5 and 7 to marry another man in the death cult's war zone. She left her children in the custody of a babysitter somewhere in Western Sydney. The children eventually came into the care of her former husband's family, and he returned from Turkey to continue to look after those children. Michael Costa, the former treasurer in the state of New South Wales and a Labor power broker, has gone on the attack again. He's got into Anastasia Palaszczuk and others. He's pulled his support for Bill Shorten, warning his leadership is terminal, and the opposition leader is Australia's own version of Ed Miliband. The former Labor heavyweight also declared Tony Abbott safe as Prime Minister on the back of a politically clever budget that has saved his leadership. Shorten fired back, saying Costa is guilty of bitter personal attacks. Writing exclusively in the Daily Telegraph, he said the political madness that undermined the Prime Minister's authority early in the year is over. Tony Abbott will lead the government into the next election. He also said Labor has been straitjacketed by unions, the left and special interest groups, as it struggles to fend off the Greens in the inner city. One of the consequences of the politically clever budget is that Bill Shorten's political strategy and political leadership is on terminal trajectory. In other words, he's gone. A bit later in the program, I've received an email from a police officer in Queensland. I'll deal with that. Today, the Courier Mail has devoted six pages to the battle between the various factions, where it appears the Chief Justice, Tim Carmody, is confronting the judicial elite head-on. I hope he wins. It appears many of his accusers have their judicial heads stuck up their judicial backsides. And I'll also deal in great detail later today with the story of this police officer out near Longreach. But let me tell you, I told you there'd be something to talk about here. This is the officer being suspended for allegedly being discourteous to clients. He used excessive force during a traffic intercept, they say. He failed to treat a member of the public with dignity and respect. The police commissioner in Queensland is as weak as water. I'll talk later to the police union in Queensland. The officer in question, a senior constable, a 45-year-old with a long period in the service, was on a single officer patrol in remote Queensland, outside of Longreach, on the way to Ilfracombe. He pulled over a suspected stolen vehicle doing 130. He gave directions to the two occupants, the driver and a passenger, which were not complied with, "Put your hands up where I can see them." He noticed the occupants of the vehicle rummaging around inside the vehicle. He drew his firearm. He's by himself in the middle of bloody nowhere. He used tactical communication. He may have sworn. I mean, you don't pull up someone between Longreach and Ilfracombe and you think they're armed or they got drugs and you say, "Dear, oh dear, oh my goodness gracious me, would you please comply and put your hands in the air so I can arrest you?" No, you use a bit of old-fashioned Australian language. Get them up and get out. His nearest backup was about 10 minutes away, if anyone was available. The stretch of highway is one of the main routes to Darwin. The last weekend alone, five drivers on the same stretch were detected drug driving on the Landsborough Highway. But now they get a complaint. And I'll go back a little bit in time here. Do you remember when a woman made a complaint against a Sydney officer saying that he tried to pull her hijab off? Carnita Matthews, do you remember that? And that officer faced his career being absolutely trashed and obliterated by the claims by the woman. But you wouldn't believe it. The video evidence showed no such thing. She, of course, didn't do any real punishment because District Court Judge Clive Jeffries upheld her appeal, remarkably. Another judge on the side of crims. Another judge saying, "Oh, we couldn't be sure that it was her that came to the police station because she was wearing a hijab and the officer didn't ask her to remove it." Bloody hell. I wonder if there's any footage of this so-called treatment of this officer of these poor two dears on the Landsborough Highway. I mean, when are you going to get a police commissioner in Queensland who's got a bit of bottle? He's a public servant masquerading in a uniform. Strike me pink. It's just sad. Speaking of sad, I went to bed last night thinking I've tipped one out of four. Newcastle led Brisbane 18-4. I woke up this morning, turned on the news at 3 o'clock. 31-18, the Broncos won. I thought I've gone mad. None from four. Bernard Tomic, Nick Kyrgios have won in the first round of the French Open. So did Sam Stosur, who won in Strasbourg on the way there, by the way. So plenty for us to talk about. 131873 is the open line number. You can email me if you like, 2gb.com, rayhadley.com, 4bc.com.au and get podcasts, videos and program content, but go to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. I'm Ray Hadley on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. It's 23 past nine.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1-300-USED-CARS.
Yeah, Rockdale has smashed on Frederick Street eastbound at Seven Ways. Now the M5, another one there. Lane 1 eastbound approaching Moorbank Avenue. And still at Moorbank, roadworks has Church Street closed at Moorbank Avenue. Traffic rather busy in the area. At Roselle, Victoria Road, still very heavy citybound. Also through North Sydney on the freeway, down to Sydney Harbour Bridge and Tunnel. At Berrima, roadworks on the Hume Highway, northbound near Medway Road, speed down to 40 kilometres. And also at Cullumbull and roadworks on the Castlereagh Highway. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Freshly ground cafe quality coffee is just $1 at 7-Eleven. Grab one today to really get your morning going. $1 coffee at 7-Eleven. Good call.
It's good to have you company, the Ray Hadley Morning Program. Yesterday I broke the news of an incident at Villawood Immigration Detention Centre in Sydney South West. My information at the time was around five detainees had been on ICE for a binge 12 to 24 hours. I received more details about what transpired at the centre, and I'm in receipt of more details again this morning from my whistleblower at the centre, the Immigration Minister, Peter Dutton's on the line. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
What have you been able to ascertain about what happened at Villawood?
Well, mate, it's a pretty crook situation, and we're come down like a ton of bricks on a few of the people who are there. They're obviously doing the wrong thing. They're standing up to the guards, and we've had a raid that's taken place this morning. Five individuals have been removed from the centre or have been placed in solitary arrangements, and there are operational matters now in terms of some searches, perhaps transport of people, which I won't comment on where they're going to, but it'll be a higher security arrangement than where they are now. And I mean, I've made it very clear on your show before, mate, and I've said it on a number of occasions to the department. We have a zero tolerance to this sort of behaviour. If people believe that they can act outside of the law, they've got another thing coming.
I've got a photo here on my mobile phone taken in Dorm 2 of not five, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people looking like rejects, a bit like Man Monis from the outlaw motorcycle gangs in Western Sydney. One heavily tattooed because he's got his shirt off, the others, you know, with the Yo Bro signatures, all looking to be from Pacific Island nations. If they've been in jail, why aren't they sent back to those Pacific Island nations immediately? Why are we putting up with them?
Well, because some of them will have court appeals, and they've got the ability to, where I've made a cancellation on character grounds, they have the ability to appeal that through the courts, which is their legal right to do so. It becomes a great frustration sometimes because obviously we've got very clear cases against some of these people. Some of the people to whom you refer have extensive criminal histories, and we have difficulties on some occasions trying to get travel documents out of other countries.
Does that mean they don't want them back?
Well, pretty much. And you couldn't blame them.
If they were ringing us saying, listen, can you take these three blokes back from New Zealand? You looked at their record, you'd say, look, I'd much prefer for you to keep them there.
Yeah, sure.
Do you know about a bloke called Rocky Renaki?
I do, yes.
Okay, let me read to you what's been sent to me. Mr. Renaki is a New Zealand national. He's resided in detention for 68 days. Mr. Renaki was previously housed at Silverwater. That's a jail. Mr. Renaki has been involved in 16 incidents in detention in those 68 days. Namely, abusive aggressive behaviour times 4, contraband times 2, weapon in possession times 1, damage 1, disturbance 2, assault 6. Mr. Renaki began offending in 2004 in New South Wales, first attended Campbelltown Children's Court for unlicensed driving. The matter was dismissed with a caution. Another magistrate we need to sort out. Mr. Renaki has an extensive criminal history for multiple charges, and that it cuts out break and enter, stolen goods, entering premises without lawful excuse, failing to appear in accordance with bail, a fray assault, and then it just cuts out. I can't see the rest of it. But what's the prospect of Mr. Renaki being sent back to Auckland or Wellington?
Well, his is one of the matters that, that's before the court at the moment, so I just can't comment on his specific case, Ray. But I'll just make this general comment, where somebody has an extensive criminal history and they have been playing up within the centre, they will be going into a jail-type arrangement or a higher security arrangement. There's a Christmas Island facility that we have, and some people already have been sent there from Billerwood who would seek to act outside the law or assault the guards.
What, so he could be packed off to Christmas Island?
That's correct. And so there's an opportunity for us to try and work with the state government to try and get some space within some of the correctional facilities, some of the jails. But that's difficult because they tell us they've got, basically capacity limits, and they're to that capacity, which is understandable. So we're trying to work with some of the states now. Part of the difficulty is that we've cancelled, since June 14, 420 visas. There's been just, over the previous 12 months of that, an increase of 450% in visa cancellation. So I'm really cracking down on these people because, as I said to you on the program before, I just don't think they're worthy of being here. Mm. And if they've committed the sort of offences that that you've spoken about this morning, then they shouldn't be holding a visa, and we cancel the visas. In some cases, they will consent to return to, say, New Zealand. It's pretty straightforward from there. We can get rid of them quickly. In other cases, they fight it through the courts. And it takes a long period of time to deal with and to get it resolved. So we try and deal with them as quickly as we can. But I've said to, made it very clear to the department and to the operators of Villawood and centres otherwise, that we're not going to tolerate this behaviour. It's our expectation, and I think the public's expectation, that people operate within the law. If not, they'll go to a higher security facility.
Where'd the ICE come from?
Well, there's some questions around, obviously their behaviour, which was out of control, and whether or not that was influenced by by drugs, and the investigators are having a look at that at the moment.
Mm. Well, cop a tip.
Yeah.
They're on ice.
Yeah, well...
I can't tell you how I know, but they're on ice. Yeah. And they got into the centre somehow. So, I mean, Serco need to be put on notice. Either it's, you know, a childcare centre or it's a detention centre where they were high security. It's one or the other. Serco need to kick up the backside. They take a lot of our money back to the UK. I don't know they give us much value in return.
Well, I had Serco in only about 2 weeks ago, and I can assure you, Ray, that they and others have been left in no doubt as to what my view is. And as I say to you, my view is that we are not going to tolerate one instance of this sort of behaviour, and those five that have been involved in this incident are going to find their living arrangements somewhat different to what it's been over the last few weeks.
Okay, now more Australians on another matter travelling to the Middle East to take part in Islamic State. Where are we up to with the plans that have been, you know, rumoured, spoken about by the Prime Minister about stripping citizenship from second-generation Australians? There seems to be not too much problem from anyone, including the opposition, about taking passports or citizenship away from people who are citizens of other nations. But what about the others?
Well, mate, we're going to make an announcement very shortly in this area. I think, as you say, most Australians would support instances where people have been involved in terrorism. We strip their citizenship whilst not making them stateless. I think that's an important principle. The UK has operated their law since 2006 pretty effectively. It's only been used on 27 occasions where they've taken citizenship away. And in fact, there is a power within the Citizenship Act here. And since 1949, 16 people have lost their citizenship, largely because of criminal offences or fraud in their applications to have Australian citizenship here. So there's already a form of it under the Act now. What we're proposing to do is to have a look at a modernisation of that. So if you're off in Syria and you're involved in terrorist activities, then there is the ability for us to have a look at your citizenship. If you're a dual citizen, I think that's pretty straightforward. And then the second part of it, the way in which it operates in the UK, is to say, well, you're born in Australia to parents who have moved here from another country. They've been naturalised. You've been born in our country, but because of your birthright, you have the ability to make application to your home country, if you like, for citizenship. If we can satisfy ourselves, this is under the UK model, that that person can avail themselves of that citizenship, then the Brits move very rarely, but still it has happened. They move against that person to take Australian citizenship or an UK citizenship away from that person. So that's the debate at the moment, and the PM and I are going to make an announcement on that some stage very soon.
Okay, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Rachel.
Immigration Minister Peter Dutton confirming what we told you yesterday at about 11 o'clock, that five men went on a rampage inside Villawood Detention Centre. These are not visa overstayers. These are hardened criminals who shouldn't be in the country. I've got a lot of emails from people and calls saying, who pays for all these legal appeals? Pretty simple. We pay for all the legal appeals. We pay for them. Now, that weather, 27 to 10 on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations across Australia. Mostly sunny in Sydney and 20, Penrith 20, Liverpool the same, Richmond, Parramatta, Campbelltown all down to 19. Now in Brisbane, partly cloudy in 23. By the way, the weather for tomorrow, maximum 21, sunny. It'll be a sunny day and a good night for State of Origin number one. Brisbane Airport 22, Ipswich 23, Logan 23, Redcliffe 22, Gold Coast 23, same as the Sunshine Coast. Port Macquarie, before there, Canberra mostly sunny, maximum 16. Port Macquarie, Kempsey, Coffs Harbour, all sunny, between 21 at Port, 23 at Coffs, 22 Kempsey. Wagga Wagga becoming cloudy 17, Griffith partly cloudy 19, Goulburn mostly sunny 14, Coomer mostly sunny 15, Jindabyne mostly sunny 13, Orange mostly sunny 14, Bathurst the same 16, Lithgow mostly sunny 14, and Barrel Southern Highlands mostly sunny 14 degrees. Mildura possible showers in 21. It looks like no rain barring for Harvey Bay in Queensland. Possible showers in 24, Maryborough partly cloudy 25, Townsville 28, Charters Tower 27, Toowoomba maximum 19, Kingaroy 22, Charleville 25, the Isaac Cloncurry 30, Longreach 28, Emerald 26, Roma 24, Wallumbilla 24, Dalby 22, St George 23, Gundawindi 22, and Cunnamulla partly cloudy and 24 degrees. And the time, 25 to 10. Good to have your company. I've got a lovely letter from Warhope on the mid-north coast of New South Wales from Thelma and Robert Campbell. Now, unfortunately for Thelma and Robert, it only arrived in this morning, but they were wondering if I would put a call over on our radio station for last Friday. They've just been married for 50 years. Just been married for 50 years. Robert and Thelma Campbell up there at Warhope. Look, I'm terribly sorry to both of you, Robert and Thelma, but it only arrived on my desk this morning. So belated best wishes for your golden wedding anniversary for last Friday. And I do apologise, but the old snail mail let us down this time. But all the best to you. Now, we had a dope attempt to get into the Harbour Tunnel again this morning in Sydney. About 5:35, I think it was. By the time we got to 6, they'd reversed him up and gone. Now, yesterday you may remember that we had truckies ringing us about this Scott's Mount Gambier truck that actually has on the truck the height of the truck, of the trailer, 4.6 metres, trying to get inside the airport tunnel at 4.4 metres. I mean, you know, we often say, truckies ring me and say, look, if you're a good truckie, Ray, you measure the height of your truck before you leave. Well, this one had the height written on the back of it. Anyway, this is what happened. The vehicle height measured at 4.58 metres, close enough to 6. Penalties issued by the New South Wales Police to the driver include disobeying a low clearance sign, $2,145 and 6 demerit points, driving a Class 2 heavy vehicle contravening authorisation, a vehicle off an approved 4.6 metre route, fine there, $615, so we'll be up to there. We're up to $2,760. And work diary-related offence, changing work rest hours option, not complying with, 410, so we're over $3,000. $3,000 and 6 points. But in answer to a question I got yesterday, when's the last time someone had the truck deregistered? I don't think it's happened. I don't think it's happened. I'll find out what happened today. From the NRL Judiciary, Richard Farrosso, an early guilty plea to that contact with George Burgess from South Sydney last Friday night. Doesn't miss any matches, doesn't, but has 75 carryover points. And from the Coffs Coast Advocate, a distressed fisherman called 000 after spotting a shark circling his tinny. The man was fishing alone at Scott's Heads. Now, Scott's Head, it's not a heads, it's Scott's Head. I noticed in the copy it's got Scott Heads, but it's got Scott Head. At 11:30 yesterday morning, Coffs Harbour Water Police and Troll Bay Marine Rescue were reportedly called to respond. They're not quite sure what shark was involved, but the bloke got out of it all right. That's between Maxwell and Kempsey, Scott Head. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Now, just on the Rugby League Origin match tomorrow night, back page of the Daily Telegraph, Sham Smith, the ugly truth about Maroons missed a nice guy. I mean, it's a bit hard. Cameron Smith is one of the clean skins, but then they go after him over a series of issues. Then they've got a photo of Justin Hodges with a crook foot falling off a bike. Then there's a story about Mal Meninga. They call him Captain Con, the Telegraph. And then if you go to the Courier Mail, the references to the New South Wales team are just as derogatory. So, and then they have a go in the Courier Mail about Vivid Sydney being able to pack them in over the weekend when they shine lights on the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge, but you can't get them out to watch a State of Origin match unless you give away tickets. Well, that's not quite right. I think at the moment there are 77 or 78,000 tickets gone. It's only 84,000 capacity, which is well in advance, of course, of the. In fact, I think it's 20,000 or more over the capacity of Suncorp, which I think is a great ground anyway. But there'll be 80,000 or a few more there by tomorrow night. And we'll be on air for the continuous call team from 7 o'clock. It'll be hosted by Mark Levy along with the rest of the team, and I'll call the game from about 8 o'clock tomorrow night. 131873 is the open line number if you would like to join us, 2gb.com. Now, back I go to this email from a serving police officer in Queensland. I can't identify where he is or his name. I find it appalling that two senior officers have been stood down for performing their duties in chasing down criminals. This is the one from the Gold Coast. Like many, I'm aware of the circumstances surrounding this matter. Won't go into much detail, but our bloody hands are tied behind our backs when trying to deal with offenders. and they don't abide by the same rules we have to. Our Commissioner, Ray, has never stood by his troops. As a matter of fact, it's been a number of years since we had a Commissioner prepared to stand up for us. Bullying and standover tactics are a tool used by the hierarchy in Queensland Police. We have a number of district officers around the state of Queensland who bully subordinates on a daily basis. And the Commissioner allows this to happen. He says our people are our greatest asset. I say, why don't you start treating us like humans and let us do our job, the one we're trained to do, without putting obstacles in front of us? In Queensland, as a police officer, you're investigated for the most trivial matters. Matters that should be dismissed as trivial beyond a joke. Don't get me wrong, if police are guilty of criminal behaviour, they should be dealt with appropriately. They should be dealt with. The pathetic pursuit policy is beyond a joke. Yes, we do have hoons goading police into chases, knowing full well that you can't chase. You'll be investigated for the remainder of your career if you do. And of course, the classic case he refers to was the chase that started in Queensland and then professionally ended by New South Wales police over the border. How bloody embarrassing to the good, hard-working police of Queensland, says this officer. If ever there was going to be another inquiry into the Queensland Police Service, it would have to be into the management of the job over the past 25 years. It's disgraceful. And so he goes on. And then, of course, I mentioned earlier this officer, and I will talk to Ian Lever, president of the Queensland Police Union, and all I can say is New South Wales police officers, even though they're not happy from time to time, must be doing handstands. They're not in Queensland. The officer in question that's been stood down by the commissioner was on the Lansborough Highway in remote Queensland. He was on his way to Ilfracombe. The nearest backup was about 10 minutes away. The officer was on a single officer patrol in the middle of nowhere. He pulled over a suspected stolen vehicle travelling at 130. He gave directions to the two occupants, the driver and the passenger, and they weren't complied with. They weren't complied with. And the orders he gave were, put your hands up where I can see them. The occupants continued to rummage around the vehicle. He thought they may have been going for a weapon, so he drew his own firearm and then used what's called tactical communication, may have involved swearing. I mean, you're out in the middle of the damn highway. You got two blokes not complying with you in an allegedly stolen car. You don't say, oh dear, let's put the billy on and have a cuppa together. You use colourful language to make sure they understand you're serious. His nearest backup was, best case scenario, 10 or 15 minutes away, if anyone was available. He's a 45-year-old senior constable, stood down by the commissioner's office, subject to investigations concerning him using excessive force during a traffic intercept and failing to treat a member of the public with dignity and respect. Have you ever heard so much rubbish? Dignity and respect. When's the last time a copper in Queensland got dignity and respect? From criminals. They probably get it every day of their lives from decent people, but from criminals. When do they get that? Never. And I'm reminded of the Carnita Matthews case in New South Wales, where she alleged a single officer tried to remove her veil from her face. We now know that didn't happen because the matter was, of course, on videotape. The woman was convicted by a magistrate and sent to jail. But on appeal, District Court Judge Clive Jeffries determined that when she went in to hand in a stat deck, they couldn't be sure it was her because, why? She had a veil on. She gets off scot-free. The officer's career is almost in tatters until the videotape clears him of any of the things he was accused of doing. It's time the Queensland Police Commissioner grew a set and started to back the officers. Instead of simply, not treating a member of the public with dignity and respect. Says who? The member of the public, that says who? Who was out in the middle of nowhere, allegedly in a stolen car doing 130, not complying with the direction from a police officer. Gee whiz. Enough's enough. It's 13 to 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
Now the M4 remains busy from Parramatta down to James Bruce Drive. At Rockdale, they're still clearing a smash at Frederick Street eastbound at Seven Ways. Still clearing another one on the M5. Lane 1 eastbound at Moorbank Avenue. And still at Moorbank, roadworks has Church Street closed just there at Moorbank Avenue. At Berrima, roadworks on the Hume Highway northbound near Medway Road, speed down to 40 kilometres. And 28 k's west of Lithgow, around Cullen Bullen, roadworks on the Castlereagh Highway. You'll find the speed down to 40 k there too. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Call Real Insurance on 13 19 48 for a discount of up to 30% on your car insurance. Conditions and PDS at realinsurance.com.au. Issued by Holland Insurance.
A bit of personal time. When I used to work Christmas Day, and that stopped 15 years ago, I used to get three of my children, Dan, Laura and Emma, on Christmas morning to come on and tell me what Santa had brought them because I would leave to come to work before they got up. Poor little Sarah wasn't old enough to talk then, and by the time she did start talking, I'd stopped working Christmas Day, so she didn't get a chance. And when that's played, that tape on air, she always laments the fact that she wasn't old enough to be part of the deal. But today, my baby, my little tiny baby, is 18. Happy birthday, Bubba.
Thank you.
Many happy returns.
Yeah, I know.
It was too early to come and give you a kiss this morning when I left, so I'll do it now.
Yeah.
Big to my baby. Okay?
Thank you.
Have you got any presents yet?
Yeah, got a few.
Got a few?
Yeah.
Did you find the flowers?
Yeah, I did. Thanks, Dad.
That's all right. Okay, you got a big day out somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big day and big night and big weekend.
All right, well, I'll see you this afternoon. What time will you be home?
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Well, we've got to be out for dinner at 6:30, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Okay. Behave yourself, baby. Happy Thanks. Birthday, darling.
I won't have too many drinks.
Listen, you're not having any drinks, you naughty girl.
All right.
Okay, darling. Happy birthday.
All right, bye.
All the best. That's bye. My little baby. She's 18. The youngest is 18. Remarkable. Seems like only yesterday she was a little baby sitting on my knee with those big brown eyes. It's good to have your company. Steve from Loganham says, been listening to 4BC in Brisbane a long time. You should hit the Liberal politicians with some hard-hitting questions, not be so patronising. Well, Steve, when it becomes a Steve Woodward show, you can do what you like. In the meantime, it's the Ray Hadley show. I'll do what I like. And why didn't you broadcast the Brisbane game last night? Pretty simple, wasn't that one, Steve? You whinger. We don't have the rights, so we can't do it. And welcome back. Second hour of the program, Ian Levers, President of the Queensland Police Union, will join us this hour. I've been inundated with emails from serving police officers and people who actually live in that area, up around the Longreach area, where this officer has been dealt with. Here's another one. As a serving officer in Queensland, yes to gutless to be force, I'd like to say thanks for taking up the fight for us. The bosses are stuck in the mindset of academia and wanting to build their resume. Don't think of us. They've got no idea, refuse to listen to problems. They are customer service oriented. Between the previous commissioner and the one we have now, Queensland has little hope. I remember being sworn in to serve without fear nor favour. Yet live in fear from being disciplined if I attempt to do my job. Maybe the commissioned officers should take the crap by coming and sitting in a car as a constable and get an idea what it's like to be on the front line. Well, maybe they've forgotten, mate. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. I just got a lovely note from Hetty. And Hetty said, Hetty Johnson, that is, from Bravehearts. I'm in the car travelling and listening to your program in Brisbane. I love it. Welcome to Queensland. Thank goodness you're here. See you shortly. Thank you, Hetty. I'm glad you are listening. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon. Ange, g'day.
G'day, Ray. How you doing?
Good, Ange. What's happening?
I'm just phoning to wish your daughter a happy birthday because it happens to be mine as well.
Well, let me convey to you best wishes of the day as well, Ange. I take it you're a little older than 18.
Yeah, sort of 82.
You don't sound 82. I was going to have a guess and say 55 or something.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll ring you every day.
Well, mate, many happy returns.
Well, listen, I just want to mention that to you and your daughter, three great entertainers that were born on this day as well.
Yes.
The first couple, your daughter probably won't know too much about it. Mm. The first one was the great Al Jolson.
Is it his birthday, is it?
Yes. He was born in, he died rather, in 1950.
Yeah.
He was only 64.
Oh, dear.
And secondly was the great jazz singer Peggy Lee.
Peggy Lee,
who sang with Tommy Dorsey's band.
Yes.
She died in 2002. She was 82, so she got to me.
Yeah.
And the last,
yeah,
the great Duke. You know the Duke, don't you?
What, John Wayne?
Yes.
Was he born on this day?
Yes.
What was his first real name?
It was Marion something.
100%. Marion was his
yeah,
first name.
He died in 79. He was only 70. So I'm still alive and kicking and trying to play golf once a week.
I'm getting worried about these people dying at 64 and 60 soon.
Yeah, they're a bit young, weren't they?
They are. Anyway, many happy returns, Ange.
Thanks, Ray.
All the best. Al Jolson, the anniversary of his birth.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. The banjo's strumming soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X. I even know my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
Yes, he was born Asa Jolson. And Ange is right, May 26, 1886... and unfortunately passed away, age 64, in October 1950.
Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X. I even know my mammy.
You know, he was described at his peak as the world's greatest entertainer.
The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
And the people who were influenced by that great entertainer, the world's greatest entertainer, included Bing Crosby, David Bowie, Bob Dylan, Rod Stewart. In the 1930s, he was America's most famous and highest paid entertainer. Between 1911 and 1928, he had 9 sell-out Winter Garden shows in a row. He had 80 hit records, 16 national international tours, and don't forget, this was without the support of radio for most of it. He's best remembered today as the star of the first talking picture in 1927, and that, of course, was the jazz singer. An incredible entertainer, and the anniversary of his birth date today, way back in 1886. And I've just received a note from another famous Australian. Not up there with Al Jolson or the Duke, but the chief executive of the Gold Coast Titans, the great Graham Annesley, said, "It's my birthday too today." Happy birthday, Graham. Born on this day, I won't hazard a guess. Just I know he's older than me, that's all I know. Well, I think he's older than me. Maybe he won't own up to it. Happy birthday, old mate. 131873 is that open line number. It's 11 past 10. Last week I spoke to Ian Leavers, the president of the Queensland Police Union. I think we're going to be having a few conversations, Ian, and myself. That was after the 49-year-old senior constable and 47-year-old senior sergeant were stood down for chasing a man wanted over alleged robberies using a tomahawk on the Gold Coast. The officers, subject of a disciplinary investigation concerning allegations of engaging in, quote, an unauthorised pursuit, driving or causing police motor vehicle to be driven in a manner likely to endanger other road users, and inappropriate use of force. I mentioned yesterday, and I've mentioned it again today, another Queensland police officer has been stood down. He's a 45-year-old senior constable, the 8th officer stood down in Queensland this month. This month. And the 18th stood down or suspended this year. With the assistance of the Queensland Police Union, we've been able to find out a bit more about this latest suspension. And on my reading of it, it's an absolute nonsense. The president of the Queensland Police Union, Ian Leavens, g'day.
G'day, Ray.
I can't. I mean, I've got emails coming in about this fella from Longreach telling me he's an absolutely gem of a police officer, a really good bloke, and they can't believe, based on the evidence that's been presented to us, that they've stood him down. Just take us through what you know about it, Ian Leavers.
What I know is Ray, he was a single officer patrol just outside Longreach on the way to Ilfracombe.
Yeah.
He pulled over a suspected stolen vehicle travelling at 130 kilometres.
Mm.
He gave directions to both occupants in the vehicle, the driver and the passenger, and they refused to comply. He wanted to be able to see their hands, and this is a safety issue for police. Now, there was suspected drug use, I'm led to believe, as well, and he used tactical communication. He asked them to put their hands up where he could see them, and he drew his firearm. This was a pure safety issue, and his next backup, if it's available, was at least 10 minutes away, because it was it. You know, and that's pretty good when you're out in the bush.
Oh, and, God, if you're in the middle of nowhere, it is reasonably good that you get someone in 10 or 15 minutes, exactly.
That's right, and this is in line with the police training. As we know, this is one of the main routes through to Darwin.
Mm.
And last weekend alone, I'm informed that five drivers on the same stretch of road were detected drug driving. It's now, on the Lansborough Highway.
Okay. Now you say they were rummaging around. He used tactical communication. I'd imagine that it wasn't the sort of communication you'd have at the retirement village in Longreach with elderly residents. It would have been fairly frank and honest about getting their hands in the air and behaving themselves, correct?
Absolutely, and it's all about safety for the occupants in the vehicle as well as the police officer because, you know, as I say, you're a long time dead, Ray, and I don't want to go to another police funeral, which could quite easily have been avoidable, and especially we see a police officer here following their training, but once again, the police commissioner gets on his high horse and thinks, I'm going to stand you down. And we have Commissioner Scipione and Ian Stewart saying he wants police, they both want police to be hyper-vigilant, be aware of what is occurring because of the ICE epidemic and the ISIS threat. Hold on. They go out and do their job in Queensland. Ian Stewart's going to stand you down because he's trying to make a statement. He's just trying to bully police. And it's getting to the stage police are going to be too scared to do the job. And we may very well see a murdered police officer if it continues at this rate. It's just a disgrace.
Well, what I've got here in front of me from Queensland Police Service, not the Queensland Police Force, is this. The officer is subject to a disciplinary investigation concerning allegations he used excessive force during a traffic intercept and failed to treat a member of the public with dignity and respect. Now, do these officers have cameras mounted on the cars like they do in New South Wales for such stops?
Well, no, Ray, it's only if they go and purchase one themselves because that's another issue the police service refuses to supply. Any technology for police to protect them. But
well, not just protect them, Ian Leavers, but you'll be obviously aware of the case in New South Wales a number of years ago where a woman named Carnita Matthews made an allegation against a lone police officer, just like this bloke, and he wasn't as remote as this bloke, and claimed that this officer, when he couldn't identify because she was a Muslim wearing a hijab, that he tore the hijab from her head. Now, you can imagine you get to a magistrate's court in New South Wales, you've got this poor innocent woman saying this dirty, filthy lay policeman pulled the hijab from my head, assaulted me, and there's the police officer's career just about gone, if the magistrate believes the woman. She went and made a complaint about this. The officer was in a heap of strife. All of a sudden, they've got vision of the incident. He never touched the woman. Never touched the woman. And she's charged. She's found guilty by a magistrate. She's put in jail. She appeals the sentence, and a district court judge named Clive Jeffries decides that you couldn't really prove that it was her with the hijab on that went to the Campbelltown police station with a stat deck, so we don't know that it was her, so offence not proven.
Oh, it's just ludicrous, and that's why a lot of people in the community lose faith in the criminal justice system, and it's just a disgrace. And had that occurred in Queensland, obviously that police officer would have been stood down as a matter of urgency.
Yes.
And we rely on this, actually, technology to be able to prove our innocence. We're not doing the wrong thing. We're just doing a difficult and dangerous job. Mm. The commissioner refuses to supply it. It's, I've got to say, with the last election, I had a commitment from the government to actually inject some money into it so police can actually have this equipment to protect themselves. And it provides valuable evidence, and it protects police, and it gives the public and the community confidence. We have a police commissioner in Queensland. He's not interested in protecting police. He just wants to discipline at every step of the way, and it's just a disgrace. And, you know, where do we go? The police just not leave the police station. We can't not do our job because then we let the public down. But it's a pity we're not supported by the police commission. I know the public support us, but the commissioner, again, has got to step up and do his job. Now, I know we've got to understand. I understand the separation of powers, but I really think that the police minister needs to stand up now and actually give the commissioner some direction about on how to protect the police so law and order is a priority in Queensland. Sadly, Ray, on both sides of the fence, we haven't had a police minister that stood up for police in Queensland since 2009. The rest of them have just gone with the flow, and they just refuse to back police. It's just amazing.
See, I've got an email here from one of your officers in relation to all of this, saying that, you know, and obviously he doesn't want to be identified. None of them do, and you can understand that. That's the end of their career. And I shared it with my listeners this morning. He's in another regional part of your jurisdiction. He says that the bullying is intense from commissioned officers, that there's no backup for rank and file police, and it's a flow on from the commissioner down to commission officers, that there's no way in the world that you would be in a position to take a stand because you just don't get backed up. And that appears to be permeating right through. Now, one of the things that would be most enlightening, I would imagine, Ian, is if the two men who've made the complaint, obviously, who said they weren't treated with dignity and respect, that we knew a bit more about them to see whether they commanded dignity and respect.
That's absolutely right, Ray, and I think that's the really important issues. But again, we are focusing purely on the actions of police and not of the offenders and what people have to deal with. And that does concern me. In your comments before, I can say right at the high levels, right down, if you speak out and you tell the truth, and let's talk about this, police officers telling the truth, if they do that within the police department, it is career-ending, and they will be victimised and bullied and harassed out of the job. They will find every little point they can to try and discipline them and destroy their careers. That's a sad way. You know, we had the Fitzgerald inquiry in 1989.
Yes.
Sadly, this is worse. We're going back in time.
So it's the other way now. It's swung the pendulum's gone the other way.
It has. We are starting to see a management style of the 70s, where I thought that had left us with the Fitzgerald inquiry, but sadly it's coming back. We are seeing police bullied and harassed. If we went down that track, I think we'd open up a can of worms, which would be unbelievable. I just want police to be able to be honest and be able to speak up and do their job. And sadly, I've got to say, since Judy Spence left in 2009, we haven't had a police minister who's stuck up for us. We're not having a police commissioner who supports us, wants us to be hyper-vigilant, but then wants to stand us down at every opportunity. There'll be no police left in Queensland if it continues on at this rate.
Well, what did I say in the introduction? Did I say 8 so far this month and 18 so far this year?
That's
8 in a month.
Right. 8 in a month.
And then you get the court decision yesterday from the magistrate's court over the bikie brawl, where the magistrate says the witness can't be believed, terrible witness, however, hard to prove riot, case dismissed.
Yeah, and that's why the community lose faith in the criminal justice system, and sadly police do. But what we'll continue to do is we'll continue to do our job and put them before the courts, but it's just making it very difficult. And it is concerning, but on this latest issue, Ray, I've got to say, with the ICE epidemic and the ISIS, police have to be hyper-vigilant. But if you're going to do your job in Queensland and try and protect yourself and do your job, you could very well be stood down. It just doesn't make sense, but... We'll continue to do our best, but the courts often don't back us up. And how many times do we hear sentences which just never meet community expectations?
If it makes you feel any better, we're having an inquest into the death of two wonderful people at the Lindt Cafe siege, where the perpetrator should have been incarcerated, but because courts were weak-kneed and lily-livered, he was able to walk the streets. So it's not just germane to Queensland, I can assure you. I'll leave you with this one from a serving officer. Thanks for taking up the fight. The bosses are stuck in the mindset of academia, wanting to build their resume, not thinking about us. They have no idea, refuse to listen to our problems. They're customer service oriented. Between the previous commissioner and the one we have now, I don't think we've got much hope. I remember being sworn to serve without fear or favour, yet I live in fear of being disciplined if I do my job properly. Maybe the commissioned officers should get in the back of our truck one Saturday night and see what we put up with.
And see what it's like and go around, not with an entourage of other police to protect you, but go out on your own or just with one other person and see what it's actually like and see what police have to put up with. And then, hey, if he gets a complaint, perhaps he should be stood down as well. And then he'll know what it's like for a modern-day police officer.
What's next for this officer out at Longreach? What's next for him?
We've just got to wait and see how the investigation goes, and that could be 1 month, 2 months, 6 months. And you're living out somewhere like that. There are restricted duties as to what you can do. It affects your family, and in places like that, everyone knows. And this stigma will hang around for a long time. I'm just really concerned that I could end up at a funeral of a murdered police officer, which could have been avoided. And I'll tell you now, there'll be some people who will have our blood on their hands should that occur as a result of the current system in Queensland.
Well, I would say to the Commissioner, who says in this press release, in keeping with our commitment to high standards of behaviour, transparency and accountability, we've undertaken to inform the public when an officer faces serious allegations of misconduct. Serious allegation? Not treating a member of the public with dignity and respect? That's a serious allegation?
As you said, it's we're not at a retirement home or at a school. This is out in the field where police are dealing with criminals at times, and safety is paramount because police are responsible for the safety of the customers or the so-called customers we deal with, and we have a responsibility. It just doesn't make sense, and it just shows that I don't know what's going on over at headquarters at this point in time, but I'd suggest they're probably taking something which is making their mind be altered.
Maybe there's too much caffeine in the coffee. We'll leave it at that.
Thanks. They're the only ones with time to drink it, Ray. The others are working.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you very much.
Rest assured, as I've done in New South Wales and the ACT, frontline police will get my support. When they do the wrong thing, they'll be jumped on. But when this nonsense occurs, they'll be supported.
Absolutely. No, thank you for your support, Ray. Really appreciated.
All the best to you, Ian. Thank you. Ian Levers, President of the Queensland Police Union. Now, the cop is listening to me in New South Wales, the ACT in Victoria. How would you like to be putting up with that? How would you like to lead your life on a daily basis? I know that, you know, police here in New South Wales, they complain about various aspects of what happens, and I can understand that as well. Chris says, Ray, Greg Smith isn't Robinson Crusoe on this thing. Our police union and police prosecution unit supported the Bail Act changes. You're right about that. The prosecution unit basically wrote it. And I think the officer in charge of that's now been promoted. I'm buggered if I know how that happens. 131873 is the open line number, but thank you for reminding me. 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Now, I've got a couple of other emails about the police band. If you do ever talk to the police commissioner, Ian Stewart, ask why a retirement village near Toowoomba have the Queensland Police pipe band providing entertainment to its occupants. Ask him who resides at that particular establishment that sees the police band there frequently. Well, I'm more than happy to do that. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon. Graham Ennersley's come back to me, claiming that I've unfairly targeted him. He said, mate, 26th of May 1957. So he's 3 years younger than me. Sorry, Anna, I had you older than me. 131873. 24 and a half past 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian fleet sales. Call 1300 used cars.
Yeah, Berrima Roadworks on the Hume Highway. Lane 1 northbound near Medway Road. Now the speed is down to 40 kilometres. Take it easy through that area. Moorebank Roadworks has Church Street closed at Moorebank Avenue. Now the M5, still rather busy around King George's Road as you make your way down to the main tunnel. Once you get to Mascot, no problems on General Holmes Drive and Southern Cross Drive. 28 kilometres west of Lithgow around Cullumbull and Roadworks on the Castlereagh Highway. Speed there is down to 40 kilometres. The M1 Pacific Motorway, okay. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Are you buying a car or equipment for your business? Get a fast-tracked application for up to $500,000. NAB can make it happen. Call 13 10 12.
By the way, I mentioned the Robertson brothers a little earlier, and last weekend they were up there at Gladstone in Queensland and Rockhampton. This coming Saturday night, they're at the Cube at Campbelltown. And then through June, they go to the Capitol Theatre. This is their performances at the Everly Brothers and Dean Bourne as Roy Orbison. Let me have a look when they're coming. Oh, yeah, Jupiter's on the 20th of June. They're up there. Griffith, the Regional Centre, on the 4th of July, which is a Saturday night. To Townsville on the 18th of July. Cairns, the 17th of July. They're going to Dubbo Regional Theatre on the 14th of August. Bathurst, the 15th of August at the Entertainment Centre. They're at the Queensland Performing Arts Centre on the 21st of August. They're at the State Theatre as well. I'll be going to see them in Sydney on the 25th of July at the State Theatre. And they go to North Gosford, the Laycock Theatre, on the 10th of October. Castle Hill RSL, one of our sponsors, on the 17th of October. South Juniors on the 24th. The Evan Theatre, Penrith, on the 7th of November. Inside Panthers. North Sydney Leeds Club on the 28th of November. If you're on the south coast of New South Wales, St George's Basin Sanctuary Point on the 5th of December. But the boys will be at the Cube at Campbelltown with Dean Bourne as Roy Orbison on this Friday night. 131873 is the open line number. There's a lady on the line. We do broadcast into Longreach, as I've told you previously. Her name is Alice. She knows the family of the officer from Longreach here. Alice, hello.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Well, thank you. Now, Longreach, relatively, is not a big place. You happen to know the officer, do you?
Yes, I know he's off quite well, and he's an extremely professional police officer of the Queensland Police Service. And I firsthand the effect that this stand down has had on him and his family. I don't think the public out there understands how it affects their families as well when they go through this.
Yeah, terrible. Absolutely terrible. On the say-so of two blokes in a car, apparently.
I'm not exactly sure of the details, Ray.
No, sure. How old is this officer, Alice?
This officer is 45.
How long has he been a police officer?
25 years.
A 25-year veteran, and he's treated like a common criminal and stood down.
We understand there's a certain procedure that the police service does now.
Yeah.
We understand that it's got to be done. That's how things are. But Ray, I've really rung to say thank you for your support.
Well, let me tell you, Alice, you passed to his family. I'm sick to the back teeth of coppers doing their job and getting kicked in the guts by weak-kneed, lily-livered commissioned officers who haven't seen an angry man for 20 or 30 years. They don't know what it's like to confront two blokes in the front seat of a car who won't comply with the request to put their hands in the air because he thinks they might have a gun.
Can I just say, I'm just calling you on more of a personal level, that we came from the Gold Coast and this officer was working at Coomera when Officer Damien Leading lost his life at the Pacific Pines Tavern.
Mm.
We experienced all the sadness. We saw what his family went through.
Mm.
We never want that to happen to someone close to us.
Mm. Well, Alice, rest assured, and I don't speak on behalf of every Queenslander, but I speak on behalf of every police officer in New South Wales or Queensland, that I hope this is not drawn out, I hope it comes to a very quick conclusion and the officer can return to his normal duties, but I can understand why an officer would contemplate his future being treated like a common criminal by the organisation he served proudly for 25 years.
Can I also say, Ray, I'd like to thank the Queensland Police Union, Ian Leavers and all his staff. They do an excellent, absolutely excellent job of helping these officers through all these hard times. And I can't praise them enough.
All right, I'll leave it there, Alice. Pass on my best wishes to the family of this poor, suffering officer, okay?
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. That's Alice from Longreach, where we broadcast to, where the officer resides. I'll get the details on that murder of that police officer on the Gold Coast that Alice referred to. You know, he's out in the middle of nowhere, on the Lansborough Highway. Two blokes, on a stretch of road where drugs are consumed on a regular basis. Last weekend, five drug drivers are detained. He pulls over these two blokes. He wants them to comply. He's suspicious the car is stolen. He has suspicions that the car's pinched. He thinks they're up to no good. He says, put your hands in the air, I want to see where your hands are. He's worried they could be rummaging around in the car for a gun. He doesn't know they're armed or unarmed. They don't comply with that wish. He's now being investigated for using excessive force during the traffic intercept and failing to treat a member of the public with dignity and respect. Well, that police commissioner in Queensland should hang his head in shame. Hang his head in shame. It's outrageous. Of course, if someone lodges a complaint, it should be investigated by the local area commander, who would know the officer, 25 years in the service, have a look at the way that he perhaps has treated people in the past, have a look at the two people making the accusation. I don't think it's the mayor and the deputy mayor of Longreach who are making the accusation. I don't think it's the local parish priest and his offsider. I don't think it's someone of high standing in the community. And say, listen, boys, if you'd lifted your hands in the air like you were told, we wouldn't have a problem. Bugger off. 25-11.
Macquarie National News.
Natalie, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. A raid's been carried out at the Villawood Detention Centre after a group of detainees who'd apparently used the drug ICE damaged property. A manager at a shopping centre where Sydney Siege gunman Man Monis worked as a security guard is giving evidence at the coronial inquest into the siege. Senior Government Minister Malcolm Turnbull expects Federal Parliament to legalise same-sex marriage before the end of the year, And Queensland scientists have developed an app that can identify a frog by its croak. It provides information on nearly all of Australia's 238 known frog species. In sport, New South Wales and Queensland will finalise their preparations for the State of Origin opener with a run through at ANZ Stadium today. Ray, more news and sport in 24 minutes.
Okay, thank you. A story from the Daily Telegraph, 9:15 Sunday night. Police on General Holmes Drive in Sydney at Mascot see a white Volkswagen Ute travelling at more than 100 k's in a 70 zone. They stop the vehicle. The driver submitted to a roadside breath test, positive. The 35-year-old male, taken back to Mascot Police Station, he produces the breath analysis of 0.117. His driver licence suspended, confiscated, told not to drive. So that's by the time he gets out of the police station, 9:15, 10, probably half past 10. 11 o'clock, police on Southern Cross Drive, Mascot, saw the same white Volkswagen driving north. They stop it again, random breath test, same man. He comes back to the police station, 0.097. He'll appear in Downing Centre Local Court June 17, twice within the space of an hour and 45 minutes. Just ridiculous. 131873 is that open line number. Now, from the Canberra Times, our listeners on 2CC have alerted me to this one, which I've been following with some interest for quite some time. And I mentioned this man previously. This is the bloke who, and I can't mention the circumstances, but in the middle of these circumstances, the Country Rugby League decided he was worthy of going on a tour with the Country Rugby League team in New South Wales to Hawaii. Also on the tour were plenty of people from the administrative side of the game, so it was wonderful to go to Hawaii and have a game against the Tomahawks over there and have a little holiday. Mr. Quinn et al. This story says, the man accused of delivering a drunken punch that left the victim with brain damage has gone on trial. Levi Freeman Key, 26, had been drinking heavily with friends at Civic September 2013 when a scuffle broke out between two groups. Freeman Key accused of delivering a single punch to the head of the victim, Matt Pridham, causing him to fall back and hit his head on the concrete. The injuries Mr. Pridham sustained were serious, left fighting for his life, sustained a fractured skull, facial fractures and swelling to the brain. Freeman Key denies the allegation he delivered the blow. The case centres largely on CCTV footage captured of the incident and whether it shows Freeman Key as the man who punched Mr. Pridham. The accused, represented by barrister Ken Archer, argues the footage is ambiguous and unclear and that he was not the one who delivered the offending blow. A biomechanics expert analysed the footage and arrived at the conclusion that Freeman Key was responsible for the punch that caused the injury. But Mr. Archer has objected to the evidence being tendered before the Chief Justice Helen Murrell, and much of Monday, being yesterday, was spent arguing about its admissibility. The judge-alone trial continues before the ACT Supreme Court today, when the admissibility issue is likely to be resolved, and I'll update you on that tomorrow, 22 to 11. It's good to have your company. In talking to Alice from Longreach, she made reference to the Coomera Detective Senior Constable leading. Now, that's Damien leading. He was shot at close range, I believe, in the face with a pump-action shotgun as he tried to foil two people's escape outside a tavern. He died in hospital when life support was switched off. Now, I fast forward to August last year, a story I shared with you then. The cold-blooded killer who gunned down Gold Coast police officer Damien Leading has been granted more time to request an appeal of his sentence after he turned up the Court of Appeal, without any paperwork. Philip Graham Abell, 42, was jailed in 2013 for life without parole for murdering Detective Senior Constable Leading as he shot his way out of a bungled armed robbery at Pacific Pines Tavern in 2011. Now, I started looking for this story and found a bit more interesting information. The murderer, Abell, said his lawyer had previously filed the application, but he did not show anything about it or did know anything about it. He told President Margaret McMurdo, now there's a name we've dealt with previously, Justice Roslyn Atkinson and Justice Robert Gotterson. He was unable to contact his solicitor because he was being held in detention unit at the prison. It's very difficult, he said. He couldn't afford a private solicitor. Justice McMurdo said legal aid funding was unavailable to Abell when applying for an application for an extension of time to appeal his sentence, but a barrister could be appointed to him from the court's pro bono register. In other words, they do it for nothing. But the Director of Public Prosecutions, Tony Moynihan QC, was less enthusiastic about granting an adjournment to Abell. Justice McMurdo asked him how the Crown would be prejudiced if the matter was adjourned and investigated by a barrister from the pro bono list. Only to the extent that we're here and ready to proceed, he said. We made inquiries as to whether there was any representation, whether there was to be any material filed, and were informed he was unrepresented, the matter was to proceed as an unrepresented accused. which is quite common, he said. Justice McMurdo said she thought Abell needed legal advice, especially as he faced a long time in jail before being eligible for parole. He's got a very long time to serve in jail, she said, before he's eligible for parole, and surely as a model litigant, you wouldn't be keen to close off appeal rights before he's had every opportunity to at least investigate them. Mr. Moynihan replied he did not wish to close off any of Abell's rights. I simply make the point the Crown is here today, ready to proceed in circumstances where we understood the matter was ready to proceed. But Justice McMurdo said the applicant's material was a mess. It was her understanding the appeal would have been unlikely to proceed that day. The case was referred to a pro bono barrister. Justice McMurdo guiding the light of the murderer of a police officer. There you go. It's a strange old world in which we reside. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Paul, g'day.
Good morning, Ray.
G'day, Paul.
G'day, Ray. We're just going to enlighten your listeners that we've got a sheepdog trial bonanza out at the Hawkesbury Showground starting on Thursday lunchtime and going till Sunday.
So it's not the Hawkesbury Show, which is on previously. It's a show dog bonanza. Is that what you're telling me? Sheepdog bonanza.
Yes, Ray. It's purely sheepdog trials.
How long is it going for, Paul?
On the Thursday lunchtime, the 27th. To 31st, it's on and Sunday afternoon.
So it starts Thursday and goes to how many sheepdogs you got out there?
We'll have a couple of hundred to get through, and we've got 600 sheep arriving tomorrow.
Beautiful. Entry is free, is it, or you got to pay to go and watch it?
Entry is free.
Beautiful.
And we've got two different types of sheepdog sports on show, Ray. We've got the yarding trial where the sheep get up on the. Where the dogs get up on the sheep's back and working around the yard. And we've got the traditional three sheep trial where the dogs move three sheep around a football oval and through a course. It's really good to watch. Great for the kids.
All right. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday out at Hawkesbury for people in that region in Sydney. Go and see the sheep dog trial starting on Thursday at the Hawkesbury Showground, which is behind the Hawkesbury Race Club. 131873 2GB.com. Get the minister on the phone. Are you talking about the Queensland Police Minister? I think that would be an exercise in futility based on what she's already said. She's still got the trainer wheels on, unfortunately. By the way, Benny Robertson said, let you know, Campbelltown sold out, mate. Sold out on Saturday night. You can't get there. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. The murder of Senior Constable Leading, you spoke about in the Gold case, not long after the murder. Leading's wife, also a police officer, was transferred. I see you're making some allegations there that I'm not aware of, Rob. I'll proofread that and come back to you. Thank you very much. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Just listening to the story about police being stood down, says Andy, who's in Queensland, perhaps Mr. Leavers should have thought twice before slam-dunking the previous government. He was very critical of them. There's an old proverb that Ian could think about jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. Personally, I agree with him and you. The police should be allowed to do their job. It's obvious that criminal element are picking up on the fact they drive recklessly. They'll be allowed to get away. Let's hear it for the police doing their job and getting bad guys off the streets, says Andy in Queensland. You're right about that. Someone suggesting that the laws that are in place in Queensland will be in place in New South Wales sometime in the foreseeable future. Let me assure you that in discussions I've had with the Police Commissioner, Andrew Scipione, here it is, I'm reliably informed that New South Wales is very soon adopting the Queensland Pursuit Policy. I wouldn't think while Andrew Scipione is Commissioner that'll be happening on his watch. I don't think so. Well, I certainly hope not anyway. One 3 1 8 7 3 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Ray, those two men at Longreach waived the right to be treated with dignity when they didn't comply with the police officer's request. You're probably right. Did I hear the suspect called clients up there in Queensland? Says it all, doesn't it? 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. In the meantime, plenty of emails coming in. Some birthday emails as well, I noticed. People telling me stories about birthdays. Russell's one of them at Cecil Hills in southwestern Sydney. Caught the end of your conversation regarding birthdays. My father and I share the birthday, 26th of May. It's also the anniversary of my grandfather's passing, Jack Chegwin. Jack was a former New South Wales state cricket player and selector for New South Wales for many years. Strange how life works out with dates. My younger sister has a little miffed as her birthday's on the 27th of May. Can you give out a shout-out to my dad, Ray? He's 84 today, long-term listener of 2GB. Well, all the best to you as well, Russell and Ray. We just had a family get-together in the Southern Highlands on the weekend with 24 family members, including all eight of my dad's children, my brothers and sisters. Mum passed in 1987, and Dad has been there for every one of his kids whenever they needed help or advice. We're truly grateful to him. Well, thank you, Russell. That's a lovely tribute to your dad, so happy birthday to you. And happy birthday to your dad, Ray Chegwin. 131873. Now, we've got a problem at Yandera on the Hume Highway south of Sydney. I'm told an accident there. A ute towing a caravan has spun around and rolled on the Hume Highway. That's northbound. So a ute towing a caravan has spun around, rolled on the Hume Highway northbound at Yandera on the way down to Goulburn. We'll find out more about that as quickly as we possibly can. It's 10 and a half to 11.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
At Villawood, a truck fire. Woodville Road northbound. Looks like Woodville Road is closed with traffic direct into Tangerine Street, then Mandarin Street. Now, Girraween, a smash on the Great Western Highway. That's affecting eastbound traffic at Girraween Road. At Moorbank, Roadworks has Church Street closed at Moorbank Avenue. At Castle Hill, a breakdown on Showground Road at Victoria Avenue. Now, Berrima, Roadworks on the Hume Highway northbound near Medway Road. Speed is down to 40 kilometres. That's taking out lane one, so take it easy through there. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Building or renovating? Don't miss the Sydney HIA Home Show. Thursday to Sunday, Sydney Showgrounds. Buy tickets online and save at sydneyhomeshow.com.au.
Just repeating, on the Hume Highway, Yandera, we've got a problem down there. A ute towing a caravan has spun out and rolled on the Hume Highway northbound coming back into Sydney. Someone just sent me a note from the Queensland Facebook page. That was put there yesterday morning. A 45-year-old senior male constable from Southern Region was stood down from official duties. The officer is subject to a disciplinary investigation, which I've got, in keeping with a commitment to high standards of behaviour, transparency, da-da-da-da-da. Then the last line, which is here, that doesn't mean that the allegations against the officer have been substantiated. Well, you heard from Alice, who's a friend of the family in Longreach. It certainly changed his life and his family life by the sound of it, even if the allegations have not been substantiated. But, you know, the knee-jerk reaction from the Police Commissioner's Office in Queensland, thank God we've got Scipione in New South Wales, bit of backbone, a bit of bottle there, as opposed to what's going on up there. Eight officers in 1 month in Queensland stood down. By the way, I'll do this in some detail tomorrow. A story from the Lithgow Mercury. The attention of the wider mining industry will be focused on Lithgow tomorrow when the all-powerful Planning Assessment Commission conducts a hearing that could determine the long-term prospects of the Springvale Colliery and the livelihood of 300 mine workers. This will be the focus of the PAC public hearing in Lithgow tomorrow. Lithgow Council has endorsed the application, but environmental groups, none of them from the area, have mounted a campaign of opposition that's become standard procedure in mining developments. And Lithgow will cease to exist as a town if this continues. Anyone heading to tomorrow's State of Origin opener between New South Wales and Queensland at ANZ is encouraged to leave the car at home and catch public transport. By the way, Gary from Blaney said, Ray, happy birthday to my son, Brett, born the same day as your daughter. Happy birthday, Brett. All the best to your son. Ray Hadley in the morning on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. News in 60 seconds.
There's a reason why we love this guy, and there's a reason why his rating's so high. It's Hadley season. Season. Yeah, it's the best show
And welcome back to the final hour of the program on 2GB 4BC. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon. Now, in New South Wales, the Baird government is facing criticism from key crossbencher Fred Nile for rushing its power privatisation bill into Parliament instead of waiting for the findings of the Upper House inquiry. The bill to allow a 99-year lease of 49% of the New South Wales electricity distribution network is expected to be introduced in the lower house today. From the Christian Democrats, Fred Nile said the Premier's got enough brains to know it would not be wise to do this. It's a mystery as to why they've jumped the gun. Now, in light of that, and it's obviously one thing he wants to get done quickly, but Robin says, I'm deeply disturbed by what you said earlier, and the bail laws in particular, in relation to Lindt Cafe. Had the new bail laws been enacted with even a modicum of urgency, it's entirely possible that the deaths of two vibrant, beautiful young Australians could have been averted. When they wish to, they'll push things through very, very quickly. And she names a couple of things. And she says, Robin, I'm a Liberal voter, but this is the whole of the New South Wales government in general, and the Premier in particular, responsible for that delay in not revising those bail laws. Well, of course, it can be traced back to the Attorney General's department and the Attorney General himself. And while no individual can be blamed for the deaths of those two people apart from Man Monis, you are left scratching your head. 131873. Graham's online from Queensland. G'day, Graham.
Hello.
Yeah, mate, hello.
How you going?
Good, thanks, Graham. What can we talk about, mate?
Look, I'm just ringing up about the announcement yesterday made by the government about bringing back the Vietnam veterans.
Repatriating the remains, yes, I spoke about that, yeah.
Yeah, my grandfather was one of those ones killed over there.
Oh, was he, mate?
And
so it's a big deal for your family, obviously, a big deal.
It is, yeah. He served 227 days over there as a stretcher bearer and was ambushed and killed by a sniper. While trading someone out in the field.
So it's been confirmed for your family that your granddad will be one of those people repatriated, is that right?
It is, yes. My family have already given the go-ahead to bring him back.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
I've been reading that there are some families that wish to leave their family members over there.
Well, that's a decision for them, obviously, yes. Obviously.
That's exactly right. It's entirely up to themselves, but as I said to my mum earlier, that I'd like to have my grandfather here on home soil.
Yeah, good on you, mate. What was your grandfather's name, Graham?
Mervyn Wilson.
Mervyn Wilson. And we thank Mervyn for his service of the country. And I'm glad that the family has found some comfort in this government decision.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, son. Well done. You should be very proud of your late grandfather, Graham. And it's nice to hear from you. And it's Surratt, 131873. And I've been to Surratt, I think, from memory. Let me think about it. Yes, Toowoomba. Oh, not quite that far. No, but it's north of St George, actually. So, I haven't been to Surratt, but I've been on roads where the sign said Surratt. So I've got close, but not there. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Can you play the other Swanee song? Oh, you mean because I played Swanee because it's the anniversary of the birth of Al Jolson. You mean the other Swanee song? Okay, well, only for you.
It's been away for a short time. We really haven't missed him though. And it's not that great that he wants to renominate. Please don't do it, Swanee. Pretty sure that no one loves him long time. His own party wants him to go. The front bench don't care if he is there. Swanee, let us be. Swanee, we don't want you, we don't want you. My dear old Swanee, we'd give the world to see. When Swan retire and L-E-A-V eventually Hadley's waiting for you, praying that you'll please stand down, Swanee. The folks of Australia no more. You cost them way too much before. 20, 20, we don't want you back, oh Swanee. Please go leave us alone. Oh, Swanee.
Thank you, Benny. A story from Sydney's southwestern suburbs, a man fighting for his life after allegedly being shot in the head in the southwest last night. Emergency services called to a townhouse in Yagoona after 9 o'clock. They found a 54-year-old man allegedly been shot in the head. He was taken to Liverpool Hospital and remains in a critical condition, fighting for his life. Police say the man doesn't have any gang or criminal links, and they don't believe the shooting is related to the alleged stabbing of a 15-year-old boy two streets away. That happened a few hours earlier. Police are appealing for the public's help after a teenage boy was allegedly stabbed during a brawl in the same suburb, Yagoona. At 7:20 last night, police and paramedics called to Gilman Reserve off Saltash Street in Yagoona, reports of a stabbing. The paramedics treated a 15-year-old boy at the scene who'd been allegedly